The Arabian Nights, the 230th night. The story of Julanar of the Sea. Shahrazad said, "I heard, O happy king, that there was once in Persia a great and mighty king whose capital was Khurasan. He ruled over so many provinces and cities and so many people that all the kings of Persia and all their armies paid him homage. He was a sensible, discerning, and pious man who judged fairly between the strong and the weak and treated the offenders with mercy, so that everyone near and far loved him and wished him long life, victory, and success. He had 100 concubines of all races, each housed in her own apartment, but in all his life he had never been blessed with a son. He used to offer sacrifices, give alms, and do all kinds of favors and good deeds, praying to God to bless him with a son to bring him joy and inherit the kingdom after him. He used to say to himself, 'I am afraid that I will die without a son, and the kingdom will pass into the hands of strangers.' The slave merchants knew that he enjoyed having many women and concubines, so that whenever they came by any slave girl, they brought her to him, and if he liked her, he would buy her at the highest price, making the merchant rich. Then he would bestow on him a robe of honor as well as other favors, give him written orders that none should levy any duty or tax on him, and hold him in high esteem. Consequently, the slave merchants came to him from various provinces and countries to present him with fine mistresses and concubines. But in spite of all these efforts, he remained depressed and anxious for a long time. But morning overtook Shahrazad, and she lapsed into silence. The 231st night. The following night, Shahrazad said, "I heard, O happy king, that in spite of all these efforts, the king remained depressed and anxious for a long time, because he was getting old without having been blessed with a son to inherit the kingdom after him. One day, as he sat on the throne with his vizier by his side, with the princes, lords of the realm, and notables sitting before him, and with the mamluks and servants standing in attendance, a servant came in and said, 'O king of the age, there is a merchant at the door with a girl worthy of our lord the king. He wishes to present her to you, and if she pleases you, he will offer her to you. He says that there is none like her in beauty or charm.' The king replied, 'Bring him to me.' The servant rose and returned with the merchant, led by a chamberlain, who presented him to the king. The merchant kissed the ground and bowed before the king, who engaged him in conversation and spoke amiably with him, until he put him at ease, allaying the awe he felt in the presence of the king. Indeed, it is the mark of kings, sovereigns, and other leaders, that when a messenger or a merchant stands before them on some business, they converse with him amiably, to allay the awe he feels in their presence. At last the king turned to the merchant and asked, 'Where is the girl whom you consider to be worthy of me?' The merchant replied, 'She is beautiful and elegant beyond description, and she is standing at the door with the servants, awaiting your pleasure. With your leave, I will bring her at once.' The king gave him leave. And when she came in, the king looked, and when she saw a tall girl as slender as a spear, wrapped in a silk cloak embroidered with gold, the king rose from his throne, and entering a private chamber, bade the merchant bring in the girl. The merchant brought her before the king, and when he unveiled her, the king looked on her and saw that she was brighter than a banner and more slender than a reed, for she put even the rising moon to shame with hair hanging down to her anklets in seven tresses like horses' tails or the veil of the night, and with dark eyes, smooth cheeks, heavy hips, and slender waist. When the king saw her, he was dazzled by her beauty and grace, for she was like her of whom the poet said, "When they unveiled her, I doted at once. As she stood there with calm and dignity, neither too little nor too much, faultlessly formed, wrapped tightly in her cloak in total parity, slender her figure and perfect her height, her lovely body to perfection bred. Her hair trailed to the anklets and revealed the glory and the envy of her head." But morning overtook Shahrazad, and she lapsed into silence. Then Dinarzad said to her sister, "What a strange and entertaining story." Shahrazad replied, "What is this compared with what I shall tell you tomorrow night, if I stay alive?" The 233rd Night. The following night, Shahrazad said, "It is related, O happy king, that when the king looked at the girl, he was dazzled by her beauty, captivated by her charm, and overwhelmed by love for her. He turned to the merchant and asked, 'Sheikh, what is the price of this girl?' The merchant replied, 'O king, I bought her from another merchant for 2,000 dinars, and to this date I have travelled for 3 years and spent 1,000 dinars on her to bring her to you. But your slave does not want any money for her. She is a gift to our lord the king.'" When the king heard this, he bestowed on him a robe of honour and ordered him 10,000 dinars and one of his choice horses. The merchant kissed the ground before him and departed. Then the king committed the girl to the care of the nurses and attendants, saying to them, "Prepare her and leave her alone in one of my choice private apartments." They replied, "We hear and obey." Then they took care of her and brought her whatever she needed of servants, clothes, and food and drink. Then they took her to the bath and washed her. And when she came out, looking even more charming and beautiful, they dressed her in fine clothes and adorned her with jewellery worthy of her beauty, and brought her to an apartment overlooking the sea. For at that time the king resided on the seashore, on an island called the White Island. When in the evening the king went into her, he saw her standing at the window, looking at the sea. But although she noticed his presence, she neither paid attention to him nor showed him veneration, but continued to look at the sea without even turning her head toward him. When the king saw this, he surmised that she came from ignorant people who had not taught her manners. But when he looked at her and saw her in her fine clothes and jewellery, which lent her greater beauty and charm, and made her look like the twinkling stars or the shining sun, he said to himself, "Glory be to God who created you from a humble drop in a safe haven." Then he went up to her as she stood at the window and embraced her. Then he sat down on the couch and, seating her on his knees, kissed her and marvelled at her beauty and grace. Then he bade the maids bring food, and they set the food before him, in plates of gold and silver, worthy of a king, and placed in the middle of the table almond pastry in a platter of white crystal. Then the king ate and fed her with his hand. But while she ate, she kept her head bowed down without paying any attention to him or even looking at him. Morning overtook Shahrazad, and she lapsed into silence. The 234th Night. The following night, Shahrazad said, "It is related, O happy king, that the king kept feeding her with his hand while she kept her head bowed down without paying any attention to him, looking at him, or speaking to him. He began to talk to her and asked her name, but she kept her head bowed down without replying, speaking, or uttering a word or a single syllable, until the maids removed the table and the king and the girl washed their hands. When the king saw that she did not speak or answer his questions, he said to himself, 'Glory be to the Almighty God! How beautiful is this girl, but how ignorant, or else she is dumb. But none save the exalted and glorious God is perfect. Were she able to speak, she would be perfect.'" He felt very sorry for her, and when he inquired of the attendants about her silence, they replied, "O king, by God she has never said a word to us, or uttered a single syllable, but has remained silent, as you see." Then he summoned his concubines, favourites, and other women, and bade them entertain her with all kinds of music and songs. But when they played and sang, the king enjoyed it very much, while she, neither speaking nor smiling, kept her head bowed, looked at them silently, and sulked until she made the king depressed. He dismissed the women and remained alone with her. Then he took off his clothes, lay down in bed, and made her lie beside him. When he looked at her body and saw that it was as fair as pure silver, he was enthralled and felt a great love for her. And when he took her virginity, he discovered that she had been a virgin, and he rejoiced and said to himself, "By God! It is amazing that a girl of such beauty and grace, who has been bought and sold as a slave, has remained a virgin. This is a mystery." Thereafter he devoted himself totally to her, as she began to assume and occupy a great place in his heart. And he forsook and neglected his favourites, concubines, and all other women, and considered her his blessing and his lot in life. He lived with her an entire year, as if it were one day, yet she never spoke to him or uttered a single word, and this was very hard on him. One day he turned to her, but morning overtook Shahrazad, and she lapsed into silence. Then Dinarzad said to her sister Shahrazad, "Oh, sister, what a strange and entertaining story." Shahrazad replied, "What is this compared with what I shall tell you tomorrow night, if the king spares me and lets me live? It will be even stranger." The 235th night. The following night, Shahrazad said, "I heard, O happy king, that at the end of the year, during which the king had grown infatuated and madly in love with the girl, he turned to her one day and said, 'O my heart's desire, by God, my whole kingdom is not worth a grain of sand to me when I see you unable to reply or speak to me, for you are dearer to me than my eyes. I have forsaken my concubines, my favourites, and all my other women, and made you my lot in life. And I have been patient with you, and have been praying to the Almighty God to soften your heart with pity, and make you speak one word to me, if you are able to speak. If you are dumb, let me know, in order that I may give up hope. I pray God to bless me with a son from you to bring me joy and inherit the kingdom after me. For I am lonely and forlorn, without relatives or anyone else to help me with the affairs of the kingdom, especially now that I am old and too weak to manage by myself and take care of my people. My lady, If you are able to speak, for God's sake, answer me, for my only wish is to hear one word from you before I die." When the girl heard the king's words, she bowed her head in thought, and looking up, smiled in his face and said, "O gallant king and valiant lion, may God exalt you and humble your enemies, and may he give you long life and grant you every wish. The Almighty God has accepted your pleadings and entreaties, and has answered your prayers. O king, I am bearing your child, and the time of my delivery is near, although I do not know whether the child is a boy or a girl. Had it not been for the child, I would not have answered you or spoken to you." When the king heard her words, he was extremely happy, and he embraced her and kissed her face, saying, "Oh, my lady, oh, my darling, God has granted me two blessings and relieved me of two sorrows. The first, to hear you, my entire kingdom. The second, to hear you say that you are bearing my child." Then he left her and sat on his throne, and in a fit of happiness bade his vizier distribute 100,000 dinars in alms to the widows, the orphans, and the homeless, and to all the poor and needy. And the vizier did as he bade. Then the king returned to the girl and said, "O my lady and my heart's delight, how was it that you spent a whole year lying with me in the same bed day and night without speaking to me until today? How could you bear it, and what was the cause?" She replied, "O king, I am an exile and a captive in a foreign land, with a broken heart, aching for my people, a woman all alone, without father or brother." But morning overtook Shahrazad, and she lapsed into silence. Then Dinarzad said to her sister, "O sister, what a strange and entertaining story." Shahrazad replied, "What is this compared with what I shall tell you tomorrow night, if I stay alive?" The 236th night. The following night, Shahrazad said, "I heard, O happy king, that when the king heard her words, he replied, 'As for your saying that you are a broken-hearted woman in a foreign land, where is the reason for it? Since my entire kingdom is in your hands and I am your slave. But as for your saying that you have a mother and a father and a brother, where are they? And what is your name?' She replied, 'I will tell you my name. I am called Julanar of the Sea. My father was a sea king, who then died and left his kingdom to my mother, my brother, and myself. But another sea king defeated us and took the kingdom from us. My mother is descended from the daughters of the sea, not the daughters of the land and clay. My brother is called Sa'i. One day I quarrelled with him and left, swearing by the Almighty God that I would throw myself into the hands of a man of the land. I came out of the sea and sat down on the shore of the island of the moon, where an old man came up to me and, taking me to his house, tried to make love to me. But I refused and hit him on the head so hard that I almost killed him. Then he took me out and sold me to that pious, fair and honourable merchant, who bought me for 2,000 dinars, and brought me here, and sold me to you. Had you not, O king, offered me your kindness and love, and preferred me over your favourites, concubines, and all other women, I would never have stayed with you even one single hour, but would have thrown myself from this window into the sea and returned to my people. I was also too ashamed to return with child, for fear that my people would distrust me, think ill of me, and refuse to believe even if I swore to them that it was a king who had bought me with his money and made me his lot in life. When the king heard her explanation, he thanked her and kissed her between the eyes and said, "By God, O my lady and my darling, if you leave me even for a single hour, I will die. But for God's sake, tell me, how do the people of the sea walk there without sinking and dying?" She replied, "O king, we walk in water just as you people walk on land, without being wetted or hurt by the water," adding, "We do this by virtue of the words inscribed on the seal ring of God's prophet Solomon, son of David, peace be on him, and stay dry without being touched by the water. You should know, O king, that the time of my delivery is near, and I therefore wish my mother, my uncle's daughters, and my brother to come, so that they may see me with you and find out that I am bearing the child of one of the kings of the land, who has bought me with his money and treated me kindly, and so that I may make peace with them. Besides, your women are daughters of the land who do not know how to assist in birth the daughters of the sea, or how to help them or take care of them properly. Moreover, I wish them to come so that you may satisfy yourself that I am truly a daughter of the sea and that my father was a king." When the king heard her explanation, he replied, "But morning overtook Shahrazad, and she lapsed into silence." The 237th night. The following night, Shahrazad said, "I heard, O happy king, that when the king heard Julanar's explanation, he replied, 'Do as you wish, and I will agree with whatever you do.'" She said, "You should also know, O king, that we walk in the sea and see the daylight and the sun and the sky, and see the night and the moon and the stars without being harmed at all. In the sea, there are people of all types and creatures of all kinds, just as there are on land, and more." The king marvelled at what she said. Then she took out from her bosom a case of Javanese aloe wood, and took out from it a bead of the same wood. Then she threw the bead into the fire, whistled and spoke words that the king did not understand, and there arose a great cloud of smoke. She said to the king, "Rise and hide in a closet, so that you may see my brother, mother, and cousins without being seen by them, for I intend to bring them here and show you the Almighty God's marvellous handiwork and the forms he created in the sea." The king ran and, hiding in a closet, watched what she did. No sooner had she finished her incantation than the sea began to foam and surge, and suddenly the water split asunder and a young man emerged. He had sprouting moustaches, rosy cheeks, and teeth as glittering as gems. He was more handsome than the moon, and as lovely as his sister Julanar. He was followed by a grey-haired old woman and five young ladies who looked like moons and resembled Julanar in beauty. The king saw the old woman and the young man and young ladies, but morning overtook Shahrazad, and she lapsed into silence. The 238th night. The following night, Shahrazad said, "I heard, O happy king, that the king saw the old woman and the young man and young ladies walk on the surface of the water until they reached the palace, while Julanar went to the window to receive them. When they saw her, they were happy, and they leapt and flew like birds, and in an instant stood beside her, embracing her tearfully and telling her how much they had missed her. Then they said to her, "Oh, Julanar, you have been away for 3 years, and we have been desolate without you, unable to enjoy food or drink." Julanar kissed her brother's head and his hands and feet, and did the same to her mother and her cousins. Then they sat for a while, expressing to each other how they had suffered during their separation. Then they questioned her about her present situation, with whom she was living, to whom the palace belonged, and who had brought her there. She said to them, "When I left you, I came out from the sea and sat on the shore of the Island of the Moon, where a man found me and sold me to a merchant who sold me to the king of this city for 10,000 dinars. I have had a happy life with him, for he has forsaken all his concubines and slave girls on my account, has turned away even from the affairs of the kingdom, and has devoted himself to me." When her brother heard this, he said, "O sister, rise and let us return to our home and family." When the king heard what the brother said, he lost his senses from shock and fright, saying to himself, "I am afraid that she will listen to her brother, leave me and cause my death by her departure, for I am madly in love with her, especially since she is bearing my child, and I will die of longing for her and for my son." But when Julanar heard her brother's words, she laughed and said, "Oh, brother, you should know that the man I am living with is a pious, generous, and honorable man, who has never said one bad word to me, who has treated me kindly, and who has given me the best of lives." But morning overtook Shahrazad, and she lapsed into silence. The 239th night. The following night, Shahrazad said, "I heard, O happy king, that Julanar added, 'I am bearing his child, and just as I am the daughter of a king, he too is a king and the son of a king. He has no son, but the Almighty God has been generous to me, and I pray to him to bless us with a son to inherit his father's kingdom.'" When her brother and her mother and cousins heard this, they rejoiced and said to her, "You know your place in our heart. If you wish to stay here, we will gladly abide by your wish." She replied, "Yes, by God I do." When the king heard this, he realized that she truly loved him, and that she wished to stay with him, and he was grateful to her, and loved her even more. Then Julanar called for food, and the waiting women set the tables and laid on them all kinds of food, sweets, and fruits. They began to eat, but soon said to her, "Your lord is a stranger, whom you have praised to us because of your gratitude for his kindness to you and your love for him. We have entered his house without his leave, and we have eaten his food, yet he has neither shown us himself nor eaten with us." They were so angry at the king that the fire flamed from their mouths as if from torches. When the king saw this, he was mad with terror, while Julanar rose and, going into the closet, said to him, "O king, you have seen and heard how I praised you, and how they wanted to carry me with them down to the sea and take me home." The king replied, "By God, I was not sure of your love until this moment. May God reward you." She replied, "O king, is the reward of kindness anything but kindness? You have treated me kindly and generously, and you have made me your lot in life. How can I bear to part from you?" But morning overtook Shahrazad, and she lapsed into silence. The 240th night. The following night, Shahrazad said, "I heard, O happy king, that Julanar said to the king, 'How can I bear to part from you? You should know that when I praised you to my brother and mother and cousins, they felt a great affection for you and desired to see you, saying, "We will not leave until we meet him and eat with him, so that his bread and salt may bind us together."' The king replied, "I hear and obey, but I am afraid of them because of the fire I saw flaming from their mouths. For although I was not near them, I almost died of fright." Julanar laughed and said, "Do not worry, for they do this only when they are angry. And they got angry this time because I had invited them to eat without you." Then she took the king by the hand and led him to them, as they sat before the food, waiting for him. When he came up to them, he greeted and welcomed them, and they greeted him back with utmost respect, sprang up to their feet, and kissed the ground before him. Then they said to him, "O King of the Age, we have only one request for you. Take care of this unique pearl, Julanar of the Sea, who is worthy of you just as you are worthy of her. By God, all the kings of the sea sought her hand in marriage, but we rejected them because we could not bear to part from her, even for a single moment. Had you not been a pious, upright, honourable, and noble-hearted man, God would not have blessed you with this queen. Glory be to him who made you cherish her, and made her favour you and serve you, for you are like those of whom the poet said, 'She is worthy of none but him, and he of none but her. That should another seek her hand, the earth would be astir.'" The king thanked them, and thanked Julanar, and sat to converse and eat with them, until they had had enough and washed their hands. Then he lodged them in a private apartment, where they lived for a full month, during which he never left their company for a single hour. When the month had passed, Julanar said, "The time of my delivery is at hand." And the king provided for her all the medicines and potions she needed for herself and her child. Then she went into labour, and the women gathered around her, and the labour increased until the Almighty God granted her safe delivery, and she gave birth to a boy as lovely as the moon. When his mother looked at him, she was extremely happy to see him. Then her mother went to the king and announced the birth of his son. But morning overtook Shahrazad, and she lapsed into silence.